What exactly is the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative? The lack of a clear definition is leading some in Congress and in industry to question the program's real intent. One of the main questions coming from the House Small Business Committee hearing Thursday is whether these contracts should be mandatory. Lawmakers in industry associations and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, well, they're not seeing eye to eye on that issue and several others. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the growing debate and concern over strategic sourcing. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So what are the questions about strategic sourcing and how it's being implemented?
Well, OFPP and the General Services Administration, what industry is saying, and what I think lawmakers are starting to agree on, they've not done enough to make sure that people understand, industry and agencies understand really what all strategic sourcing encompasses. Now, part of the reason is how some of these blanket purchase agreements, such as for office supplies or the most recent one for wireless services, have come out. And there's because of the price, too much is the focus. And even with the upcoming government-wide contract, which is called OASIS, which is for complex professional services, industry is starting to question how the administration is applying this, again, concept of strategic sourcing. Stan Soloway is the president of the Professional Services Council. He was one of four industry association representatives who testified yesterday about strategic sourcing before the House Small Business Subcommittee on Contracting and the Workforce. Soloway says strategic sourcing is not a one-size-fits-all approach.
There is a tendency across government today to look at everything through the prism of driving down a unit cost rather than stepping back and looking at overall value, performance, and so forth. And the higher up the chain you go of complexity, the more that becomes a problematic strategy. You can strategically source the most complex requirements on the planet. But in that case, you would not be doing it on the basis of lower unit price. You would be doing it on the basis of technical quality, technical history, past performance, all of these other sort of discriminators that may not be as applicable when you're doing it for simple commodities. So it's a continuum. It's a spectrum. It's not one thing. And I think our concern is that it's too often seen through one lens.
Now, Soloway says the concept of strategic sourcing is solid as long as it's understood that there are these range of options. And that range of options can't include just basic contract consolidation or bundling for ease of use. I think that was one of the concerns that popped up yesterday. Now, Congressman Richard Hanna is the chairman of the subcommittee. He says OFPP and GSA need to better define what products and services are suitable for strategic sourcing and which ones are not.
So, Jason, did OFPP offer any insight into whether these contracts are going to be mandatory or not?
Well, I think that's part of the problem with the definitions. OFPP has come out several times over the last year or so saying the contracts under the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, FSSI, are not mandatory. But then agencies end up issuing memos saying, well, contracting officers must justify why they wouldn't use the FSSI contract, which makes it mandatory without using the word mandatory. Now, Hannah also expressed concern over whether these contracts would become mandatory because it would limit small business participation. For instance, Hannah asked OFPP Administrator Joe Jordan whether the most recent strategic sourcing effort for janitorial and sanitation services would be mandatory.
OMB guidance, which we put out last December, does clearly say the vehicles that agencies create and that the Strategic Sourcing Leadership Council approves should be mandated when appropriate. And I think that is important. I think that not speaking to JanSan specifically, because I think there are still steps to go, but overall, strategic sourcing in certain categories, it's different in every category, what's going to be the cost driver, the savings driver, like I said. But in certain categories, it is about ensuring that the government buys not as 300 mid-sized businesses and get pricing accordingly, but buy as what we are, the largest purchaser of goods and services in the world. And so in those commodities where you can really leverage our scale, you can drive significant taxpayer savings by getting volume-based discounts. We want to do that. But I do think that in certain categories, in order to maximize the value of these vehicles, it is appropriate to mandate their use.
But when Hannah pressed Jordan, for example, what a commodity or service would be appropriate to mandate, Jordan obviously couldn't answer that question. Now, Rob Burton is a former deputy OFPP administrator and now a partner with the law firm Venable in Washington. He says OFPP in 2005 realized making these contracts mandatory was a bad idea, and it remains a bad one today.
there is a benefit to having more than one strategic sourcing vehicle in the government for any particular commodity or service. There seems to be a trend right now to be going to a single vehicle and make it mandatory. I think that this will be a mistake for the government for a number of reasons. But the point that has not been addressed is that there's actual benefit to competition among vehicles within the government. I mean, you don't want 500 of them. And the government does have a tendency to have too many of the consolidated procurements. But you do want more than one. And we found that the competition among agencies with respect to vehicles was very productive. It resulted in innovation, efficiencies, best practices to be shared among agencies. And so I would encourage the government to make sure they don't go to a mandatory single procurement vehicle.
So Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. He piled on to that same what Rob Burton was saying. He says competition is driving down prices already across both the GSA and the Veterans Affairs schedule contracts. Waldron says there are 20,000 companies who receive more than $50 billion through these contracts.
The idea of mandatory use, it restricts ability of small businesses to compete. It closes the market. It reduces the market to a limited number of contractors. And I also think it's not in the government's best interest. It creates risk for the government from this perspective. Back in the dark ages when I was at GSA in the 90s, GSA schedules were a mandatory source. And ultimately, various agencies decided to use other than GSA contracts for court reporting, for example. And that was a breach of those contracts, and that's a breach of the agreement. You know, they're putting it in the solicitation. You're going to be an exclusive source. Ultimately, the government ended up having to pay millions of dollars to various GSA schedule contractors for that breach. Much rather see real volume commitments.
And that was Roger Waldron, and we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So, Jason, there is a growing concern about the impact strategic sourcing is having on small businesses because if all these contracts are mandatory, that automatically leaves out everybody else. Was the committee satisfied with what GSA and the White House were saying about making sure that small firms have opportunities?
I think you heard some of those concerns expressed fairly well, because what would happen to those small firms if some or all these contracts are mandatory? But I think the concerns that impact small business go further beyond mandatory nature of these contracts. Waldron says GSA's move to closer in schedules to new offers, it would obviously not let firms compete in the federal market. But a common concern that came up with those vendors who already are on the schedule, if they didn't win a spot on the strategic sourcing contract, what would happen to them? Hannah brought up this issue during the questioning of Jeff Kosis, GSA's director of the Office of Acquisition Operations in the Federal Acquisition Service, specifically looking at the upcoming janitorial and sanitation contract.
If JanSan becomes mandatory, the 500-plus companies who do not win BPA's awards will not be able to maintain their contracts. They won't be able to make the required $25,000 minimum sales each year. So I ask you, what happens to these companies if that's the case, and what do you plan to do about it?
In our office supplies example, we've had sales under the schedule program that average about $700 million a year over the last 3 years. Collectively, in that time period, sales through FSSI have been about 30% of that total. We have not seen the entire market move over to the strategic sourcing solution. We frankly would like to see a lot more of it move over.
And it's not even office savings. Supplies, as you know, are not mandatory now.
Correct.
So you recognize there's a problem with that minimum, and that you may become your own worst enemy by effectively eliminating people from the marketplace that we want to thrive. And
I fully understand the concern, Congressman. We don't believe that this will ever be a 100% solution.
Now, OFPP's Jordan tried to alleviate some of the concerns, saying there would be on-ramps for small businesses, specifically new ones, when certain contracts, for instance, the early winners of small businesses grow and they're no longer considered small anymore, they would bring on new small businesses. But that was not enough to alleviate some of those concerns. Hannah says the committee will continue to watch the development of the strategic sourcing effort to ensure the government gets both best value and does not eliminate competition.
All right, Jason, so clearly a story to be continued. Thanks as always.
Thank you.